The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Well, Happy New Year, everyone. David Hayes here in the studio live this week. I'm actually recording a day early, 2 days early, in fact, because I am attending a conference in, yes, don't feel sorry for me, Hawaii. So I'll be gone until Monday morning when I come back. Brutal flights, as you well know, if you've ever gone to Hawaii. It's a long, long trip, 9 hours in the air, I believe. Actually, we're doing five and five, five to San Francisco, then five to Honolulu. So 10 hours of flight in one day, so hopefully a lot of sleep on the plane, and then fun and some sun and some learning, as they always have conferences in really nice places, because why would you go to, let's say, Minnesota in January? They take you south, they take you way out to the Pacific, and that's where I'll be. So had a great New Year's, hope you did too, and looking forward and very excited about 2022. A lot of great things going on and very fired up, to say the least. I hope you got a chance to listen to last week's program when I had my dad in. We talked about, when do you know when it's time to retire? 74 years old, he's still working. And at the end, the summation of it all was, you will just know. But it was a fun show, good kind of lighthearted get-to-know-us show. And if you missed it, please go back and listen to it, because I know you will enjoy it. We'll do a little news of the week, of course, brought to you by Unrivaled Electric. They are your full-service electrical contractor. They specialize in generators and solar arrays, which would not have worked very well the last couple of days, but it is sunny now. They are veteran-owned, and they want to be your electrician like they are mine. Give them a call, 812-361-3604. Kenny Bland Auctions, they are your full-service auction service, offering the pre-planning the sale of your estate or real estate. Please visit them online at KennyBlandAuctions.com. And finally, The Like Law Group. Make 2022 the year of getting it done. Give them a call and do some estate planning with my friend Lance at The Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. You know, the S&P clocked in at 28.7% total return during 2021, the 13th year in the last 25 years that the S&P, that's a $42.4 trillion index, has returned at least 15%. Over the long term, the S&P has gained an average of 11.1% over the last 50 years. The index has been positive 17 of the last 19 years, so we've been on a pretty good run here, and this is called recency bias. And if you've been, I was telling someone this the other day, man, this guy was 50, he was 50 20 years ago, so he's 70 now, getting ready to retire. And if you think about how great it was for him, if the market was positive 17 of 19 years, you're in your 50s, your kids start to move out of the house, you start making a ton of money, you're saving like a wild man into a market that's done nothing but do good since then. Yes, it was good for him too. The S&P's actually been up 40 of the last 50 years. The NASDAQ has returned 142% over the last 3 years. The taxable bond market was down in 2021, 1.5%. But it gained 6.9% per year over the last 45 years as interest rates went down, bond values went up. 2021 was the fourth down year for bonds in the last 45 years. The last down years were 94, 99, 13, and 20. Yep, you guessed it, 2021. A 1.5% loss in the bond index follows a two-year gain of 16.9%. 19 and 20 were the back-to-back best years for the bond market since 2001 and 2002. Well, it's all driven by rates, right? Interest rates went down, bond values went up, interest rates got ticked up, values went down, pretty easy math. It's all about time in the market. You know, we said that since 1950, the S&P has been up 54%, which is 18,118 trading days. 61% of the months were up. 67% of the quarters were up. That's 288 quarters. And 74% of the years, over that 72 years, that the market has been up. But if you missed the best 30 days in the market, you would have went from a 10.6% annual gain down to 4.4. But if you avoided the 30 worst days over the last 30 years, your 10.6% return would have gone up to 18.2. So it's kind of hard to time things, folks. When you just miss a few days over that many years, you better just stick it in there and stay in. Let's see, a couple more here. The life expectancy of Americans that were babies that were born in 2020 was 77 years old, down from 78.8. It's really the first time we've seen any decline in life expectancy since 1943. Now, you might be saying, well, David, why is it that you're always telling me we have a 50% chance of making it to 92 and a 25% chance to making it to 98? Well, because if you're born, you have a lot of things you got to get through before you get to age 65. So when I give you those stats, it's married couples age 65 have a 25% chance that one of you will make it to 98. That's because we've been through, we avoided all kinds of things, right? I don't have to go through them all, but we got through those. Now we're really looking at, you know, a different type of longevity. And finally, only because I'm obsessed with the topic, the national debt in the United States was $29.495 trillion as of the close of business on Thursday, December 30th, an increase of $1.75 trillion during the calendar year of 2021. And folks, there's more to come. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, talking about demographics and predictable spending patterns has been a fun topic of mine over the years. If you look at the fact that birth rates have continued to decline, what about China? You know, that's something that we should be keeping our eyes on, because China is an important economy, the second largest in the world. And 70% of our GDP is based on consumer spending, so you need people to spend money, you need people to produce things. Of course, China's been trying to move towards a consumption-based economy for quite some time. Have had some struggles, but they're on their way. So when we come back, I want to talk about this one-child policy that they had. They don't have it any longer, that they had, and how it's really come back to bite them. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. I was watching Monday Night Football this week. Steelers were playing the Browns, and they talked about it being Ben Roethlisberger's last game, last home game, especially the Steeler, but I probably predict this is it for him. But, you know, he has said it. The Mannings have said it. They were broadcasting the show on the ESPN 2 or Plus or whatever. And I love watching that. If you're a football junkie at all like I am, to have Peyton and Eli there commentating and razzing each other and then having the guests come in, like Snoop Dogg was on this week. It's fun. Aaron Rodgers was on this week. But, yeah, they all say you just know when it's time. And that's the same message we gave last week. When do you know it's time to retire? You'll just know when it's time. You want to go out on your terms, too. You don't want to go out on other people. Like I said last week, if you're on the fence, don't let someone push you off the fence. Make sure you jump over the fence yourself. Don't let someone else do it for you. All right, you know, we've talked over the years, by the way, in our 20th year of broadcasting now, Your Money with David Hayes. As we start 2022, it's easy for me to gauge that. My son just had turned one when we started the show. He just turned 21, so it's easy for me to do that math, that we've been sitting here for the last 20 years, and I don't want to reflect on all that now, but I have done that a few times throughout 2021. But now I'm looking at this really interesting topic about people. You know, here in the U.S., we're struggling to have enough people to fill jobs that we have available. Our unemployment rate's the lowest it's been, since like 19-something, I forget. I had that stat earlier. But, you know, China, the second largest economy in the world, very important to us, as we've well found out during the pipeline being, or the pandemic, and then the supply chain being all, you know, knotted up. But when China put in place its one-child policy, that was four decades ago, the policymakers said they would simply switch gears if birth rates drop too much. And it's turned out that's not so easy, right? It's kind of like when you change habits. You know, in the 30 years, this is what they said back in 1980 in an open letter to the members and young people. It says, in 30 years, the current problem of especially dreadful population growth may be alleviated, and then we can adopt different population policies going forward. Well, China is now racing in the opposite direction, closing abortion clinics, expanding services to help couples conceive. But this legacy of the one-child policy that got scrapped back in 16, they did it kind of slowly, but they got scrapped in 16. There's a dwindling number of women in childbearing age because of this. If they did it 30 years ago, does it make sense? Yes, they're starting that population is starting to go. And the fact that many of the people that were part of the one-child policy, they didn't want to have to pay the extra money or get thrown in jail to have to having two. They would want a son. So if they were going to abort, they would abort the female. So this is all catching up with them now. And you get into a situation where a person grew up as an only child, and they're okay being an only child, or they're less eager to marry and start a family. I know when I got married, how many kids do you think I wanted? I wanted three or four, because that's what I grew up with. My wife grew up one of three, but because of the age differential between her and her sister and brother, 11 and 13 years, she practically grew up like an only child. So she was fine having one. And just the way the cards fell, and it's all, you know, documented in my book, as in 2025, The Final Drive, we have one kid. His name's Will. He's 21. And he's it. And now I'm 52. I think we are out of the childbearing ages as well, if I'm not mistaken. But for years, the government called on women to postpone marriage and encourage smaller families. The researchers said that women are trying to have children might partly be accounted for in the high infertility because of the stuff they put themselves through over this long period of time. So this is a real issue facing China, and it's something that we should be keeping our eyes on. In March of 1988 was the decade where the first test tube baby was born. Well, there's been all kinds of stuff going on over in China to basically have test tube babies. How are we going to fix this problem? If you're not going to have the babies, I guess we'll have to do them in a test tube. It's going to be interesting. The number of Chinese newborns fell 18% in 2020. From the year before. The data expected in January to likely show another big drop in 2021 that will be out this month. China's fertility rate, the number of children a woman has had over her lifetime, dropped well below the replacement levels back in the early 1990s. And in 2020, it came in at just 1.3. So here, you know, we're just under 2. They're much slower than that. So the overpopulation of China that I grew up believing was happening has certainly been misdirected and handled in probably not a so smart way. There's always those unintended consequences of forcing people to do things that maybe they didn't want to do. It's interesting stuff. And like I said, when you think about why that's so important, well, again, 70% of our GDP is based on consumer spending. And we're doing a lot of that right now. And China's been moving to a consumption-based economy. They're trying to, from the manufacturing-based economy, and they're having trouble getting the kids to support the system. You need more kids coming in. You want your population look like a pyramid, right, where you have the least number of people at the top, the most at the bottom. You don't want a balloon where you have everyone at the top and no one at the bottom. And China's got this problem. The United States, without immigration, smart immigration, has that problem, not nearly as bad as Europe has that problem, aging populations, the Japanese, go on and on and on and on. So it's just something to be aware of, something to keep your eye on, and something fun to talk about. All right, so when we come back, I've asked a lot of, you know, I get caught, it's funny because I know people listen to the show, and a lot of them are friends or people that have my cell number, and they'll text me things or send me notes through email. But I had given a book to someone that we gave a donation to their organization. And so they read the book. She read the book to her husband as they drove to Kentucky. So she wrote back short. I didn't know this person, but great short read. Lots of thought-provoking things in the book. We appreciate it very much. But the other show that I got a lot of feedback on was Stop Investing Like a Poor Person. And we had a lot of fun with that. But when I come back, I want to talk just a little bit about what I meant by that, what I know that there's ways that people can take advantage of some things that are out there that can help them stop investing like a poor person, and what we're seeing as we start 2022 as far as where people should be. And again, it's like the old Gretzky analogy. You go where the puck's going, not where it's been. So when you think about the S&P 500, you know, back-to-back years, last year we're at 28.7%, six companies are 50% of that cap-weighted index. You need to start thinking differently and aligning yourself up with people that can help you do that. So when we come back, have a little bit of fun with that. I'll be back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Well, Happy New Year, everyone. We appreciate you being with me. I'm a little raspy myself, if you could notice that or pick up on that. So I'm over drinking water in between breaks. So you caught me there drinking a little sip of agua before I came back on. But no, I feel completely fine. And it's weird because over the years, this time of year, I would always lose my voice one time a year. And it was around this time of year, coming out of the holidays, whatever. It was always okay to be raspy and, you know, maybe have a little gunk. But it's not okay anymore to be a little bit sick. Everyone wants to stay away from you like you have the plague. But I'm fine. But if I sound rotten, I don't feel bad. So here we go. All right, so like I said, I get a lot of feedback from different shows. But the one that I had some fun feedback on was Stop Investing Like a Poor Person. You know, I mentioned how we all start out doing the same things. And we continue to do it the same way our entire lives. I had a breakfast meeting this morning with a group that has a unit investment trust that's actually being rolled out to kind of give people an opportunity to invest, like we said, the rich people do. And it's pretty interesting. I don't know if you heard the show with Rod, but it's always about how people with money don't let their money just sit. They're always using their money to make more money. But in the other side of things, if you have, you know, $50 a month, $100 a month, you're throwing it into a mutual fund, and all of a sudden you wake up and you're my age or older, and you've been doing it the same way, and now, wow, I have a lot of money in there. But you're still investing the way you did when you had $100 a month to invest. Well, if you have money, there's other things you can do. So Rod and I went through what we called a covered call overlay. If you missed that show, go back and listen to it, and you'll know what I'm talking about. But the investment world's pretty darn creative, and they're like, hey, if it's that good, let's bring it to the masses. So I had a breakfast meeting this morning, and they do. They have a UIT, a unit investment trust, that does essentially the same thing. It says, okay, we have these 50 stocks. We're going to own them for 1 year. We're going to put a strike price, meaning when you would be called out, at 20% above where they are now. Who wouldn't like that if you got called out at 20%? And, oh, by the way, we're going to add about another 0.5% in call premium. So again, that's fine, but anytime you package things up like that, you're going to have layers. And when you have layers, you have expenses. So yeah, it sounds good. You lose efficiencies when you do it that way, but it's better than nothing. And this is not something that you would go out and buy on your own. This is something that's bought through advisors. There's actually a lot of investments that you cannot access on your own. You know, the do-it-yourself world, yeah, you can go out and buy, you can get a brokerage account and buy any stock you want or whatever, but there's certain types of vehicles, and you can do options if you want. There's a lot of things you can do, but there are things that are not accessible to you unless you work through some kind of a registered investment advisor. So the name of the game is quality this year in 2022. We're going to come back in just a minute and talk to Rod about that, kind of how we're getting off to a good start here. And I know we're only a few days into January, but as January goes, so goes the year. We'll get our thoughts on where we stand on things, the market outlook for 2022. When we come back, we'll grab Hot Rod on the phone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. Happy New Year. as we enter the very first week of January, and our old friend Rod Holloway is on the line with me. And Rod, I heard you calling in the Glasses show. I guess it would have been this, was it yesterday? Yeah. Oh, I'm recording on Tuesday, so it would have been Monday. Yeah. And you had some really good thoughts there. Of course, we share our thoughts nearly daily together at the ranch down on South College Avenue. But I was talking before you came on about how 2022 is going to be the year of owning quality. And here we start off the year of 2022. So far, so good. So I wanted to give people some idea on where we stand on things, at least for the first part here of 2022.
Yeah, I think the theme of owning quality most certainly, I think, continues to make sense, because I think the one thing that we've been saying starting back in 21 and approaching 22, things are going to start getting harder. You know, we've been in an environment that, due to the Fed and the Fed plans of their quantitative easing program, which is their bond buying program, the low interest rates that they have created, we're a boon for equities. Now, that doesn't mean that the equity market doesn't do well without it, because prior to the Fed engaging in these types of tools in the 2000s, you didn't have that back in the 90s, the 80s, the 70s, and the stock market did well. But that doesn't mean that it's not going to have a few hiccups along the way and a few speed bumps as the market begins to adjust to reality of fundamentals is what should drive stock prices as you move forward. Well, where's the easiest place to find those fundamentals? Well, high-quality companies that have strong cash flow and low debt and manage their business extremely well. Is that the only place to find opportunity? Most certainly not, but I think that that's the place that you should begin to anchor your portfolio around as you head into it, because the headwinds that are blowing aren't different, but they're probably going to begin blowing a little bit harder as we get deeper and deeper into 2022. And those headwinds, of course, that we're most concerned about, pandemic being one of them, but let's set that aside for now. Let's talk more market-related stuff. That's inflation, and that's interest rates revolving around the Fed's actions. We're still at a low enough point that we believe that you can still have a quality stock market. You can even have some growth within the growth side and the technology side, where everyone keeps telling you that growth and tech just don't do well in rising interest rate environments. And I would say there is some truth to that, but the rising interest rates are probably starting at a much higher point than where we are today, because when the Fed begins to raise his interest rates, understand we're coming off of zero. So when they raise rates, we're still extremely low by historical means and should by no means cut off growth. But I would expect to see an increase in volatility as we continue to move deeper and deeper into this new year.
Yeah, we got a long way to unwind this thing. The Fed's going to first stop buying so many bonds. They're going to try to wrap that up by fall. And then they'll probably, you know, raise rates a couple times. But like you said, from zero to quarter point and then quarter point to half a point. That's been the history of the Fed on raising rates and lowering rates. Sometimes in emergency situations, they've done some deep cuts, but you never see them jump up and go from zero to one. It's a very slow, methodical type of a move, because the Fed hates being blamed for things. They get blamed for everything. They're asked to do everything. But I think they're going to be very, 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 very careful in how they do this. So bottom line is, you need to align yourself with some good managers. And most people listening have their money wrapped up in mutual funds, many in their 401ks and IRAs. So once again, Rod, you've got to rely on that fund manager to do the things that you're talking about to help people make money. And I think for the most part, you know, we're in one of those markets where I think it's time. And we've always kind of been, it's okay to own both, a little passive, some active. I think we're moving into that active world now, where I think being a passive investor, you know, you never know. It could leave you behind. So taking that barbell approach, we have, good quality companies, well-run, low debt, you know, dividends, you know, and their valuations are really pretty low. I know we've all focused on these high flyers where the valuations are super high and the market's overvalued and all of that. That's more of a general statement, but when you dig down deep and you start looking at individual companies, there's some real, real gems out there. And I think that's what you're trying to say, is that, hey, now's the time to really start paying attention to this stuff and understanding what you own, why you own it, and what's the reasonable outcome. So when we take a quick break, Rod, here in a second, we'll get an expectation of what 2022 should bring, and kind of you know, look at any wild cards that might be out there that we can put our finger on. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Yeah, this is going to be a year, Rod, where I think you should own the things that you think you should own and own the things you've always owned, and the balance will work itself out. So, Rod, here we are, beginning of 2022, obviously coming off an incredible year. The S&P banked in at over 28%. I know you had some stats on what markets typically do, not always, but typically do after you come off of a big year like we just came off of. So as we said it in the very beginning of 2022, where do we stand on things? What's our outlook?
Sure. Well, historically, coming off of a 25% plus gain year in the S&P 500, statistically somewhere close to 80%, that follow-up year has a very good year as well. So we're in that camp. We're not big on predictions, but, right, you know, it's the beginning of the year. It's the time when people do it. So we'll throw one out. 10 to 12%, I think, is what you could get out of the S&P 500 this year. Now, I know, compared to 2021 at 28%, golly, 10 to 12 seems like that you're dramatically underperforming. But let's not forget, historical averages are more like a 7 to 8% on an annual basis, not the 28% that we saw last year, or some of these higher double digits that we've been seeing over the last 5 to 6 years. So still probably a little bit better than average. We discussed this a little bit at our breakfast meeting this morning. We believe that there's a lot of pent-up demand, and that this demand is being elongated due to the, you know, Omicron coming out, so re-upping fears a little bit as we started to open things up. There's a lot of cash on the sidelines. A lot of people forewent doing things over the last couple of years, which caused them to accumulate cash in the bank account. So I think from that aspect, as we continue to progress with the pandemic and hopefully start moving into an endemic with COVID versus the pandemic situation, that you're going to continue to see the consumer consuming. And maybe for a while, they may be consuming at levels slightly higher than what we anticipated, because like we said, it is fairly pent up. So we expect that to be a fairly good year. The one thing that I would expect to see happen this year, you're probably going to have a 10% correction at some point in time during the year, at least. That's not a bold prediction. That's something that is very common. But once again, in the last 5 years, I think we've had at least 2 years in which we didn't have a pullback greater than 5%.
Right.
We had 1 year in which I don't think we had a move on any individual day greater than 1%. So we have, here in recent years, become a little more accustomed to the market, one, only going up most of the time, but two, also never having a meaningful correction to where about down 2 to 4%, the buyers begin to step in a meaningful enough way, we don't ever get a sell-off that goes much below that 4 or 5. NASDAQ did get a little deeper this year, the tech-heavy side. You didn't necessarily see it on the S&P 500. But I would expect to see that this year, which falls right into that theme of what we've said. It will be a good year, but it's not going to be as easy getting there as what it has been maybe in the last couple.
Yeah, we were looking at that at lunchtime today. In fact, there was just not that big drawdown that we've seen historically, and people are getting used to that. So I think it'll freak people out. We didn't, because of the lack of pull down, you know, to that 10%, or I mean, like you said, 5%, right? Get down there, then the algorithms start to kick in. And that's when you start to see the volatility pick up, when you start having computers take over the trading, when these certain breakers are popped. And I think, like you said, this year will be the year where you should expect that. And that's normal. What we've had the last 2 years is not normal. So it's going to be an interesting year, a stock picker's year, in my opinion. It's going to be more volatile than in the past, as we kind of sort some things out. I think inflation, I said it from the beginning, I'll pound my fist on the table, that I did not believe that the inflation was transitory. It made me laugh. I primarily pointed to wages, and certainly isn't getting corrected anytime soon. So, you know, that's where we stand on things for now. I know the Fed, you mentioned that already. Obviously keeping a close eye on the credit markets, because you, again, even the bond world want to have own high quality, because high yield or / junk bonds, You know, when they're basically paying you nothing to take that risk, it's not really worth it. You got to look at international. And then, you know, the wild cards, Rod, let's talk about that, because there's always the wild cards out there that can throw us one way or another. You know, you talked about the Omicron variant, you know, but we've also had a lot of therapeutic breakthroughs. We've had global supply chain issues that have not gone away. We don't know where the bottom is on that. We've had the reversal in the labor market, and we've had and we have some upcoming elections up in the spring or in the fall. So any wild cards out there that we haven't brought up already that we think we should be pointing our finger at?
Well, I think those wild cards are at least the ones that we're most certainly paying attention to and focusing on. And I think along those lines of those wild cards and any potential black swan, which, of course, if it's a legitimate black swan,
we don't see it coming.
Anticipate or prepare for it. Right. So the prudent thing to do in portfolio management, if you've got a 60-40 portfolio and now it's 70-30, don't wait for that correction to spook you to rebound. Go ahead and do it right now while things are up. Go ahead and take the profit off of the equity side and move it over to a safer, more conservative side of that. You still got plenty of exposure. No one is saying do it because you're timing the market right before it sells off. We're just saying that if you wait until the sell-off to go, ooh, I'm overexposed to equities, well, guess what? You just gave back some of those gains that put you in that position. So go ahead and do it. And then I think along the lines of what we talked about, while we favor quality, it doesn't mean that there aren't some opportunities potentially below the surface and maybe some of the lower quality things that have been beaten up for years, and maybe they're not great high-quality companies, but maybe they're beaten up far beyond what they deserve to be beaten up as you move forward, and you can feather a little bit of those opportunities in with that high quality basket of investments that you want to own.
So, you know, everyone comes into the office who pays attention to the news. They pay attention to, you know, maybe it's whatever channel they're watching, and they say, hey, what about water? Or what about, you know, crypto? Or what about, you know, all these different themes that are out there? Any big pushing theme? I mean, infrastructure obviously would be another one. If we get any kind of a, you know, massive, you know, start on that. Any big themes you're looking at for 2022?
You know, I think one theme is some of the kind of beaten down and forgotten sectors that haven't performed as well. Those would be in that value cyclical reopening. So kind of looking in the financials, looking in energy, that's an area to where you may be able to find some of those lower quality companies that, you know, not talking the big boys at the very top of the energy spectrum, but maybe some lower quality. You got to be very cautious because you don't want to get into the lowest quality. Like I said, there is a difference between being at the top of your sector and maybe being in the middle of the lower pack of your sector to where you've already suffered plenty of pain, but there are opportunities there. And while people continue to talk about technology isn't the place to be in rising interest rate environments, and I don't disagree that that is a headwind against them, we are also in the early stages of digitization within our society and things moving to the cloud and things being able to be done online and remotely and from anywhere. And as we continue to push forward on that, there's going to be new opportunities, whether it is in security and protection of all of that information or whether it is with different companies and entities the way that we operate. So there's going to be more video conferencing. Now, in the beginning, those things got way overvalued because they were being used excessively due to the pandemic. When the pandemic dies down and people begin to go back to work, they will be used less, but they will not be ignored and not used ever again. So I think there are still opportunities in that digital side that you need to look at. Obviously, from the crypto, it's a very neat thing to talk about, to look at. We still call it highly speculative. We are also limited, most advisors, as far as what we can offer the industry because it is not regulated very much. The industry does not open very many opportunities for advisors to make recommendations there. So, of course, our clients ask about it all the time. Best we can tell them is, hey, if you have speculative dollars that you're looking to gamble with, that's an okay place to put it, but we can't direct you as to exactly where to put it or how to do it. That would be something that is on your own. but it most certainly is a very fascinating and interesting sector of our economy, and something that when I get on and I watch videos in the evenings and on the weekends and learn more and more about it, it really is mind-boggling how large that potential universe can and will become. And I'm not talking just owning cryptocurrencies. We're talking the technology behind it, right? The blockchain, the ability to do financial transactions securely and safely without people being able to hack into the middle of it, without people being able to duplicate what you've done and kind of steal that road. So I think we're going to continue to see more and more come out of that universe. And like I said, not talking just purely the cryptocurrencies that people are buying, but the ability to utilize that within the financial world and get us much faster and less expensive financial transactions globally.
Rod Holloway, of course, down at Comprehensive Financial, our shop. You can listen to him on Mondays and Fridays on Glass in the Afternoon, and a common contributor to Your Money with David Hayes as well. Rod, thanks so much. And I will not see you tomorrow, as I'll be flying out for Hawaii. So if you need me, text me. But I'll see you in a little bit when I get back to the office.
Good.
All right, buddy.
You have a great rest of the show, Dave.
All right, thanks. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about gold, only because I've had that question a lot recently as well. And then we'll wrap up the show and look forward to next week. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Happy New Year. It is always confusing to myself when I'm recording the show earlier in the week to run on Thursday nights and then again on Saturday mornings at 9 to know where I'm going, what I'm doing. But I am picking up Doug Hughes in his house tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. And then we're heading to the airport for a conference in Hawaii for the next 5 days. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to call Glass's show tomorrow to preview what's coming up on Thursday night. And from Hawaii, but I need to get my calendar out, not my calendar, my clock out, and figure out the time changes, where I'm going to be, and all that kind of stuff. But that's always fun to call Glass from somewhere like that. He gets a kick out of it, and so do I. So Rob was talking crypto. Again, as advisors, we very rarely can advise on anything like that because it's not in our wheelhouse, although everyone's interested in it. They seem to be. Everybody is. But the other thing that's the old standby is the precious metals, particularly gold. So gold is something that people never sell. They only buy it. Someone asked me the other day, do you own gold? I said, no, I sold it. Why? It's because the price was right. Will I buy it again? Sure. Most of the people that I know only buy. They never, ever sell. So to me, an investment is something that you would eventually sell and live off of. So is gold, is silver even really an investment if you're looking at it that way? But if you don't sell it, your kids probably will, and they'll enjoy your investment. So the other day, someone was asking me about this. I'm like, hey, here's what you need to do. Make a nice drive up to Winchester, Indiana, and visit Silvertown. I did that years ago. It was really, I'm assuming they're still there. I need to probably look it up before I tell you to do it. I said, and while you're there, pick up a Wicks pie. And someone said, Wicks pie? I go, yeah, I'm actually related to the Wickershams. My grandma and Ruby Wickersham were sisters. And she married Wick Wickersham, and they owned and started Wicks Pies. And then you can go to Miss Wicks for lunch. So Miss Wicks, they're both obviously long deceased now. Their kids run it, and it's still out there. And, of course, Wicks Pies, they advertise during IU football, and they're the sugar cream pie is the official pie of Indiana. I'm not sure if Wick came up with that or if that was legit, but it is an awfully good darn pie. But yeah, you can head up to Winchester, Indiana, and check out Silvertown, and also check out Wick. I think Wick's pies, of course, they always did tours of the factory. I'm sure they probably stopped that during COVID. I don't know if that's fired back up yet again for 2022. My guess is probably not. But if you ever decide to go, it's fascinating. We used to do that when we were kids. And at the end of the tour, you would get a pie. And to a 7 or 8 year old kid up in Winchester, going through a pie factory and actually getting a pie, that was pretty darn cool. So just a little interesting lesson. People are like, man, your family, you have some interesting history. And I'm like, yeah, most people know the Hayes family locally,
because of the Hayes Market. So they have the name is known. But my mom's side, which was Headley and Atwood, actually go back a very, very long time. My great-grandfather on my mom's side was a firefighter here in Bloomington, and my grandpa was a fireman here in Bloomington on my mom's side. And they used to farm all of what is Lower Cascades Park. So if you go down to Lower Cascades and you walk up, you can walk to the waterfall there. That was actually their farmland. And there was a picture in my mom's house of my grandpa taking a bath in that waterfall. So it's a pretty neat, just a neat story, neat history there as well. So you learn something new every day, right, about old Dave and where his roots lie. And that's why last week's show with my dad was so wonderful. Dad's like, I need to let Jeannie listen to this. This is my stepmother, Jeannie. And I said, well, if you do, she's going to cry. You guys heard, I think I said that on air. So it aired on Thursday night. He texts me, I don't know, probably 8 or 9 o'clock, and he said, listen to the show tonight. It was great, and yes, you're right, Jeannie cried. So, you know, if I didn't get we don't get market predictions right or interest rate movements right or whatever right, we at least know emotions, people's emotions. So, hey, I started working on the podcast this week, the 2025 The Final Drive, What You Need to Win. Put two of them in the books. I am stalled because my in-house producer has been out sick, so I think she'll be back probably in the next couple of days, but then I will be gone. So I'm going to get a little bit of a slow start on getting this thing pushed out. But if you know me well enough, you would know that I talk a lot about things I want to do and am going to do, and then sometimes it takes a while to do them, like the book. But that's part of my tactic, is not just visualize, but verbalize. If you visualize it, then you're the only one that will be disappointed. But if you verbalize it, people can hold your feet to the fire. And if you're like me, you don't like to disappoint people, then you will get it done. So for me to continue to talk about this podcast to come, it is coming, and it's going to be out in January, bar none. You can take that to the bank. But I had hoped to hit the ground running this week with them getting out, but because of people being out at my office, has caused a short delay. So folks, I will talk to you again next week. Super excited about 2022. This has been Your Money with David Hayes. Goodbye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.